This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 114.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be asking whether you're selling enough. And if you aren't, as I suspect is probably the case, what you can do about it. But before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to remind you about my 2017 media diary. So this is my A4 desk diary that I've created to help you to plan out your media for the coming year. So as well as being an actual working diary, which has a page for each week, it also has around 1,000 awareness days and key dates that you can use to come up with ideas to pitch into the media. And the best thing is that you can also use it to plan your social media and your content marketing too. And it also has lots of lovely extras like to-do lists and space for story ideas and a space to store journalist contact details, which is really handy. And it also comes with full instructions about how to plan your media opportunities for the coming year. So if you'd like to pick up a copy, we can send it to you wherever you are in the world. Then I'll put a link in the show notes and do let me know what you think. As always, I love hearing from you. So drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk, or you can tweet me @jan_murray, or you can find me over on Instagram @janmurrayuk. And now on with the main part of the show. Are you afraid of selling? Do you get scared that if you send a sales email, then people will be offended or won't like you? Or that if you send a last minute email about the special offer you're running, then people won't like you or will unsubscribe from your list? And do you even hold back from telling your current clients about new products or services you've got in case they think you're being pushy? Well, if any of that sounds familiar, then you're going to love this episode, because as a business coach, Nadia Finer, who I interviewed back in episode 113, points out, if you have a business, at some point you're going to need to sell. Otherwise, you don't have a business. And in my experience, far from selling too much, many of the business owners I work with actually aren't selling enough, and they're missing out on opportunities to sell their products and services to people who actually want to buy them. So in this episode, I'm going to share 5 opportunities you might be missing out on to sell to people who want to buy from you and show you how you can change things. So first off, offering to previous or existing customers. I think lots of us forget that the people that we're working with right now, or the people that we've worked with in the past or bought our products or services in the past, are actually often our biggest fans and would buy more from us if only we told them about it. And an example of this is my Soulful PR Group coaching program, which I run 2 or 3 times a year. So it's a 12-week program, and it's one of my higher end products. It's currently £1,800 to join it. And so obviously, it's not the kind of thing that people make a decision about, you know, a snap decision about. It's something people do need to consider and think hard about it. So I don't market this in the traditional kind of way. I mean, I don't send sales emails generally about this particular program. What I do is I send personal emails to people I've worked with before or I'm currently working with, and just say to them, look, I'm going to be running this again in whatever month it happens to be. Do you know anyone who would benefit? And pretty much every single one comes back with either an email introduction or a recommendation. And that has resulted in pretty much most of the enrolments on that particular program. They've come from previous clients, or, you know, it may not be immediately, it may be a year down the line, but certainly people who have participated in your programs or have enjoyed your products and services are likely to know other people who would do the same. And of course, you can incentivize people to do that for you. So when somebody refers, I don't sort of advertise this, but when somebody refers, we usually send them a bouquet of flowers or some chocolates or something to say thank you once the new program is underway. And I think in doing that, you tend to also get the right kind of people, because when people are making a recommendation, they don't generally just recommend to anybody. They will really think of that person who has said to them, do you know what, in my case, I really want to get stuck into this PR thing. I really want to learn it, but I'm not really sure where to start. And they're bringing people to you who are kind of like ready often. You know, they've already identified that they've got a need for what you've got to offer. They just haven't found the right person to help them with it. So it's absolutely perfect way of doing things. And you can actually kind of encourage your clients to do this. So, for example, my Facebook strategist, Maria Jan, who I interviewed back in episode 79, she has a system whereby she actually gives a small cut, I guess, a referral fee to clients who refer on other clients, which, you know, is another way that you can do it. You can actually encourage that behavior in your clients. Personally, it's not something that I would go for. I would prefer to have people referring because they generally love my service and think I'm doing a good job rather than because I've offered them a cut. But it is something that you can think about. And it does depend on the kind of service that you offer, I think, or the kind of products that you offer as to whether you want to do that. And another way of thinking about it is, you can also offer additional things to people who are just coming on board as clients. So, for example, I've got a consultancy client that I'm working with at the moment, and they're doing my Done With You PR service, which is my most expensive product at $5,000. It's, you know, it's a big, big investment. But when they first came to me and they were asking for help, I had a fantastic event coming up. And I said to them, look, before you book me for this consultancy, and they booked a few other things as well, have a look at this event, because I actually think it would be really, really perfect for you. And actually, I think it would be a really good starting point, a really good place for you to start. And lo and behold, before they booked in for the consultancy, they went off and they booked two tickets for this event. They booked the higher level ticket. So it was a sale of over £1,000. And that was just by me saying to them, look, before you book this consultancy, have a look at this event, because I think it would be absolutely perfect for you. Just take a look. And they came back and booked immediately. Then they booked their consultancy, and they also booked some additional services as well. So you can even be upselling to people who haven't even come on board as clients, because what it's really about, it isn't about selling. It's about somebody comes to you and says they've got a need. You listen to them, you hear what they're looking for help with, and then you're thinking about the different things that you offer, and you're thinking, well, actually, this would be really helpful, but I've also got this. It's almost like if you go into a shop and you're looking for an outfit for something, and the shop assistant comes along and says, well, that dress is great, but actually a hat would just finish it off, or what you need is a great handbag or a pair of shoes or whatever. And of course, you know, I don't think we think it's pushy when we're in a shop and someone does that to us, because we can say no to that. So why we think it's pushy when it comes to business, I don't know. So even with people who haven't even come on board, you can be thinking of other things that you might be able to offer them. And that kind of leads on to my second point, which is about offering people different options. So as well as my coaching and my business club and my live events, I also, and I don't really promote this on my website actually, but I also do radio and TV training. And I tend to do this with existing clients, people I've worked with before historically. And if somebody comes and asks for it, I don't particularly promote it on my site, because otherwise it gets a bit kind of confusing for people when they come to my site looking at what I can help them with. But I do radio and TV training. And when people ask me to consult for it, what I've realized, and this is over kind of years of trying things out, something I've realized that really works is to give people different options. So I can go back to them and just say, okay, so my media training is £2,000 or whatever it might be. But if I just give them one option, then they'll either say yes or no to that option. And what I've noticed is if you give people different options of doing the same thing, but maybe doing it in different ways, they will often make quite different buying decisions. So for example, I might offer somebody a one-day training course and then a refresher. So I might say, look, this stuff's really good. And this is honestly what I've discovered over the years of doing it. You can go in and do a great day's worth of media training with somebody. But then 6 months down the line, they've got busy, they haven't done much radio and TV, and they've got a little bit rusty. So one thing that I might do on my quote is offer them a day's refresher or a half day's refresher as part of the package, and offer that at a discounted rate. A small thing that I've started doing, which I'll talk more about later, is offering AV support. So when I work with organisations to deliver radio and TV training, often they have a conference room and they have somewhere where we can film people and we can project it onto the screen, but they don't have the video equipment. And so they have to find that resource in-house or they have to hire it in. So what I say is, look, for a higher price, I will bring my AV guy with me, and he'll basically do all the videoing all day. He'll let us concentrate on doing the training while he does the filming and the recording. He'll package it up and send it to you afterwards so that you can use it for training with the rest of your team. So that's another option. So when I quote for media training, I'll often give people three different quotes. So it might be just for the media training, media training plus AV support. And then I might also offer media training plus a refresher in 6 months and might offer that at 50% or something like that. And it's really interesting to see how people's behaviour changes when you give them a few choices. I wouldn't give people loads and loads of choices, because I think when you give people too many choices, they can't make a decision. But if you actually offer them three options, maybe, it's quite interesting to see how their buying behaviour changes. And I often find people go for the one in the middle, which I think is quite interesting. So if you offer three price tiers, people will often go for the middle one. And I probably could do a whole episode on the psychology behind that. But it's really interesting. And it's worth sort of trying these things, because often we assume that people just want to pay the lowest price possible for what we've got to offer. But actually, sometimes they would rather pay a little bit more and get a little bit of extra value. So for example, with some of my, I also do bespoke writing training. And with some of the clients that I work with, I offer a couple of sort of webinars as a follow-up, because with writing training, it's the same sort of thing. You can go in and do a really great day. Everybody's really enthused, really fired up. And then a few months down the line, they've got busy and they've forgotten half of the things that you've showed them. So I will also offer an option where I'll do a couple of webinars for a few months afterwards, where I'll kind of check in with people, do a little bit more training with them so that those skills stay fresh. And that's actually turned out to be really, really popular. So the other thing you might want to think about is offering upgrades. So it's a little bit, you know, like when you go to, you do your supermarket shopping online and you get to the till and they say, while you're here, would you also like this? Or maybe you've run out of this, or that kind of thing. And it's basically the equivalent of that. And, you know, far from being pushy and annoying, I think often people find it helpful. So I talked about my radio and TV training, and I've started offering, for example, you know, to bring my AV technician. And actually, most people go for that. So when I say, look, you can use your resources, but actually, I can bring my guy with you. He'll bring all his own equipment. All we need to do is to be able to plug into a screen. You're solving somebody's problem. Like, you're basically reducing their workload. And I think 90% of the people I work with say, brilliant, bring your AV guy with you. And they pay the extra, which is great. The other thing is thinking about how you can offer upgrades within the services that you already offer. So for example, I ran my What Journalists Want conference a few months back, and this is a day-long event where I get 8-10 of the key journalists in a particular sector to come along and talk about what they're looking for, and people buy tickets. Now, I've been running this event for quite a long time, quite a few years, and it only really occurred to me over the last few years that I could be doing more with it. So people would buy their tickets, they come to hear the journalists speak, and what I noticed on the feedback cards, every single time people would say, great day, but wanted more time with the speakers. Great day, but wanted more time with the speakers. And so what I did initially was I thought, right, okay, well, how can we give people more time with the speakers during the day? So we introduced a speed networking session at lunchtime. That was really popular. But even so, on the feedback cards, it would still say, great day, love the speed networking, but would still like some more time with the speakers. And I was kind of thinking, well, you know, it can't go on all day and all night. How can I offer this? So I came up with the idea, and this is actually, I picked it up when I was at Chris Ducker's Tropical Think Tank Mastermind session in March of this year over in the Philippines, which is, I think, is another reason why it's always worth investing in training, because this is where you get these kind of creative ideas. But I picked this idea off one of the speakers, is I added an additional session in the day. And basically, we say, right, between 4 and 6, when the event's finished, we're going to hold a special mastermind session just for 8. I think we went up to 10 in the end because there was so much demand for it, but just for 8 people who want to spend a little bit more time with the speakers, who want a bit of time in the spotlight to talk about their organisation and not have other people kind of, you know, butting in and trying to catch the speakers. Because on this particular kind of event, obviously, people are really keen to talk to these national journalists. And it worked really, really well. As I say, we sold all 8 tickets pretty much by return. And then we added a couple of extra ones in because it was so, so popular. And so that's a way of offering an upgrade within something that you're already doing and can work really, really well. The other thing to think about is whether you've got something else to sell your clients. So, I mean, I spent years running events and people would come to the events and they'd have a great time and they'd give us great feedback. And then that was it. And then maybe 2 or 3 months later, when I was ready to sell another event, I would get in touch with them. And I've only really worked out in the last few years, and I could kick myself for this, that actually the best time to invite people to your next event is when they're at an event with you. So I held an event last week, which was my Soulful Writing Masterclass. And, you know, I've worked out now that actually there's no better time to sell your next event. And in this case, it's my Soulful Marketing event, which is in February 2017. There's no better time to start selling that when you've got a group of people in the room who've come to one of your courses already and are clearly interested in what you're doing. So why not offer them a ticket for your next event and offer them an incentive for booking on the day? And that's exactly what we do. Now, it's really, really interesting because I've started doing this over the last year or so and it's been really successful. But I usually get one or two comments on the feedback cards which say something like too much sales, too much sales. So this is probably, you're probably now thinking, this is everything I was worried about. I don't want to run an event or I don't want to do some consultancy with my clients and then have them feedback to me that I was too silly. But here's the thing. So at my What Journalists Want event back in July, I think it was. Was it July? October, sorry. I had a couple of comments on my feedback cards and that was from 80 delegates, which said too much selling. But I also sold 8 tickets to my next event on the day. So that was a 10% conversion. But for me, it's definitely worth putting that opportunity out there because there are people who clearly wanted those tickets and wanted to come along to that next event. And I think you have to take the attitude that you can either tell people about the event. These are people who are clearly going to be interested, or some of them are going to be interested because they're sitting in front of you at an event already. So is it worth losing out on thousands of pounds worth of business and not offering people something that they actually might want for the sake of a couple of comments? And I've taken the conclusion that that's exactly the case. And what I've noticed is that it's a pretty much 10% conversion. So since I've started at my events, telling people about my next event and offering them an incentive, it's a pretty much 10% of people will buy a ticket to the next event, which is a really, really good conversion. And they're happy because you're offering them a special prize. I think you have to put some parameters around that. You have to say, book today to get your special prize, because that obviously gives people a bit of an incentive to do it. And I don't feel like I'm selling. So when I'm standing up there at my events, what I tend to do is after each segment, as I'm sending people off for their break or whatever, I'll just say, and just a reminder, I told you a little bit about this event that I've got coming up. I've got, in this case, it was one of my assistants, Lucy. I've got Lucy at the back of the room. She's there. She can book you on if you're interested. For me, that's not selling. That's not being pushy at saying, hey, there's something that you might be interested in. It's a bit like recommending a film or a book to a friend. You're not selling to them. You're just saying, hey, look, if you're interested, this is on offer and this is what you need to do next if you want to take advantage of it. Now, there will always be people, I think, who will find that approach too silly, but clearly there are more people who find that helpful and are pleased that you're offering them a discount and doing them a favour like that. And so I think we do all need to take more opportunities to sell people something else. Another example actually is that, so I mentioned at the beginning of this episode my media diary, which I've created for 2017. And when we were putting together the sales email copy for that, so I was talking to my assistant Jo about it, and she said, you know, the natural progression, the next step for people who buy your media diary would be to come to your media planning masterclass. So I've got a class that I'm holding on December the 9th, which is my Your Year in PR masterclass. And this is really all about planning your calendar for the coming year. So the ideal next step for people who've bought my media diary would be to come to this event and get their diary filled out for the whole year with me and with other people who are interested in the same thing. So for me, it feels like a natural progression to say you've bought your diary, here you go, why not buy your place at Your Year in PR on December the 9th? And it's really, really interesting. We've had, you know, not loads, but we've had a few sales from that. So it's definitely been worth doing. But I did have an email from a lady who said to me, thank you for, I've put my order in for my media diary or whatever she said, but however, this sales email has come too soon. It's wrong. You shouldn't do this, basically. And again, it's about balancing that up and saying, well, actually, some people have bought this. Some people saw this as a helpful thing. Some people thought, hey, this is an event that links to the product that I've just bought and it could help me make better use of the product that I've just bought. And they're sort of voting with their feet. So I think you can't let those odd comments from people hold you back when clearly people are interested. And as long as you're selling, you know, in this case, I'm selling a very relevant event. I'm not suddenly inviting them to something which is completely different. I think, you know, that's definitely, definitely worth doing. And that really leads me on to my last point, which is selling all the time. And when I say selling, I don't actually mean selling. I mean just talking about what you're doing. You've probably noticed that at the beginning of every podcast, before I go into the main segment, I talk about something that I'm doing. So I talk about my media diary. I talk about an event that I've got coming up. I talk about my business club. Now, I'm sure there are people listening. Maybe you're even thinking this, well, that's too selly. You shouldn't be doing that. But I think, well, the people who listen to my podcast, they've obviously listened to my podcast because they're looking for help with certain things. They've picked out the podcast for that reason, or someone else has recommended it for that reason. So it's not like I'm talking about irrelevant products. It's not like I'm talking about a gardening service or talking about selling tickets to the theatre or something. I'm talking about products and services that are actually very relevant to their interests. And my attitude is, if people don't like that, they can fast forward through that first segment and they can get straight to the content, which is absolutely fine. But I've made sales from the podcast. And what I've done on my media diary, for example, is I've put a link in the show notes for my media diary, and I've put a special link which can track the sales that come from the podcast show notes. So I can see that people are listening to the podcast, they're hearing about the media diary, and then they're buying a copy. And so you can actually track that as well. So again, evidence, I think, that I'm not offering products and services to people who don't want them. You know, not everybody's going to want them, but actually, you know, I take the attitude that actually, if I'm not telling people about these things, then I'm almost doing them a disservice because they might want them. And you know, it's really interesting when you talk to people, when I talk to people at my live events, for example, often they'll say, hey, this whole time, I didn't know that you did that. I didn't know that you had a course on that. I didn't know that you had a book, surprisingly. I didn't know that you had this media diary, whatever it might be. And I think sometimes we assume that because we've sent out a few tweets, we've sent out a few emails, whatever it might be, that everybody knows everything that we've got to offer. And often that isn't the case because people are just getting on with their lives. And when you come along and you say, actually, I'm doing this, and they think, brilliant, that's the perfect thing for me. Now, I know I've talked a lot in this episode about, I've got a service-based business, and I have talked a lot about that in this episode. And a lot of the examples I've given have been from my own business, but you can totally apply these principles even if you have a product-based business. So it's just, I'm just going to run through them for you again. So first of all, it's about just remembering that your previous or existing customers will probably, or many of them will probably want to buy from you again. So what can you offer them? The second one is offering people different options. So that can be as simple as having something on your website. So when people are checking out and they've bought something in particular, you offering something, you know, like they do on Amazon, basically, you know, if you've bought this, you're buying this, you might also want to buy this. Offering upgrades. So if somebody's bought a particular product from you, is there something else that you can offer that will make that product even better for them? Do you have something else to sell them? So when people buy from you, can you immediately follow up with an invitation to buy something else, which is going to be useful and relevant to them? And finally, just talking about your products and services at every opportunity. So on podcasts and blogs, in Facebook groups or whatever. And I don't mean spamming people. I mean, just genuinely talking about the things that you're doing so that people are actually aware, and just remembering that while you might think that you're out there telling the world about what you're doing, actually most people are just getting on with their lives and doing what they're doing. And they aren't always aware of all the products and services that you've got unless you tell them about it. So I hope you found that useful. I also wanted to direct you to three other podcast episodes that you might find useful if you're interested in sales. So the first one is episode 57 with Matthew Kimberly. So it's how to get people to say yes to you. Some really great tips in there on having really good sales conversations. Same thing, episode 71 with Petra Foster, how to have better sales conversations. Lots of really practical tips there. And more recently, how to sell without being pushy, episode 109 with James Shramko. So I hope you found that useful. And as ever, I love hearing from you. So do drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk. Or you can tweet me at @Jan_Murray, or you can find me over on Instagram at @JanMurrayUK. You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, why not come over and join my Facebook community? It's simply the Soulful PR Facebook community, and I'd love to see you there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.